You know, it's very easy to talk casually about nuclear war without really grasping the real-world implications of what it means for day-to-day living or day-to-day dying, as the case may be, for all of us who share this planet. And a nuclear war is almost certainly coming. That's the realization that a few people each day are waking up to, and it's a horrifying realization. A nuclear war is coming. Now, it's very different if we have, I mean, for Americans and North Americans and, you know, Central and South Americans as well, it's very different to have nuclear war taking place in Europe versus having nuclear strikes on the continental United States, two different scenarios. But for Europeans, they are probably going to be hit no matter how this goes down. And I mean major European cities, London, Paris, Berlin, Warsaw, you name it. They are certainly very high on the target list. And remember, the West is pushing Russia, almost provoking, almost begging for a nuclear war from Russia because, well, for a lot of reasons I've discussed previously. And in a recent interview I did with Steve Quayle, he indicated that based on his sources and analysis that the United States would actually be the target of the first strike of Russian nuclear missiles. Now, I probably don't have to go into all the details about Russia's nuclear, you know, ICBM capabilities and hypersonic missiles and multiple reentry vehicles, hypersonic glide vehicles and all that stuff, because I've talked about it many times. But the bottom line is Russia has far more advanced nuclear delivery systems than, well, any other country in the world. And Russia has thousands of nuclear warheads and the ability to deliver them. So, as Steve Quayle told me in a recent interview, he believes that the targets would be, the very first targets, would be places like Washington, D.C., New York City, you know, take out the financial centers, military bases as well, and also key infrastructure, such as the, you know, ports in California. Now, here's what a lot of people don't understand. America getting hit with, let's say, 20 to 25 nuclear weapons simultaneously. Believe it or not, that does not instantly annihilate every person in America. Far from it. In fact, most people would survive that strike, by far. Yes, there would be millions dead in the cities or the targets, wherever they are. Perhaps many millions, perhaps 10 million. But that's a small fraction of the total population of the country. What would kill the rest of the people is the collapse of the infrastructure that provides the necessary essentials for life, which is, you know, food, water, electricity, spare parts, diesel fuel, you know, all these things. And these are things that you can do something about. And especially if you need to go, you know, hide out for a couple of weeks to let the iodine-131 reduce its potency in the atmosphere. You know, the half-life is about, let's say, about 7 days, I think, roughly about a week. So if you stay indoors for 2 weeks, then the amount of iodine-131 still circulating in the air is 1/4 of what it used to be at the beginning of that. So it's one more reason to have a food supply, water supply, and so on. But the things that are going to kill most people are things that you can do something about. You can store extra food. You can have emergency medicine and sanitizers to keep your area clean, especially if you have to use an outdoor toilet or even an indoor toilet, you know, going in a bucket, for example, because you don't want to go outdoors because the radiation levels are too high. Well, how do you keep your situation clean? You got to have soap and sanitizers and some chlorine dioxide for surface sanitation and some bleach and some povidone iodine and whatever. And of course, you have to have iodine to protect your thyroid as well. You have to have water filters. And it's really important to have stored water so you don't need to go get water anytime after you know, a nuclear detonation, because that water may be contaminated with radioactive particles. And so if you have stored water and you can live a few weeks or even a month on your own stored water and food, you are in a great situation compared to most people. And by the time you emerge, the outdoor situation will be a lot safer. Not quote safe, but let's say less dangerous than it was, you know, significantly less dangerous than it was. Meanwhile, those who are not prepared, who don't have food and water and what have you, and they're running around outside desperately trying to loot a local grocery store or something, guess what? They're breathing in iodine-131. They're going to die of cancer. And maybe not right away either. They might die of cancer in a year. But once they're exposed, it's already a ticking time clock, you know? And especially if they didn't have iodine or they don't have any way to, you know, cleanse their bodies or detox from radioisotopes and things like that. So people will die from starvation and disease, not from the nukes, though. They, again, let's say 10 million die from the nukes, but you can have 200 million die from a collapse of the infrastructure. So the reason this matters is because if you want to prepare for a nuclear strike on America, the best way to do that is to, number one, move away from the cities that are likely to be hit or the military bases. And then secondly, be a prepper. Have extra stuff so you can hunker down indoors for a period of weeks or a month. Wait for the radiation levels to die down or wait for the radioactive dust to kind of settle down outside, which will take a few weeks. And at that point, you also need to be able to defend yourself against the looters, against, you know, the human wave of desperate, dying, irradiated people who are frankly already dead, but they're still walking around. You know, I mean, they're going to die, but in the meantime, they want your food. And so, yeah, they're going to come to your place. They're going to find you, and you're going to have to defend yourself. But that preparedness activity, being prepared to defend your household or your community or your city block or whatever it is, or your county, well, that's a preparedness activity that is useful for every collapse situation. So in other words, my point is preparing for a nuclear war on America is very much the same as preparing for any kind of collapse. You're going to need extra supplies and a way to defend yourself. You're going to need a ballistic vest. You're going to need ammo. You're going to need rifle and training and to know how to use it. You're going to need a sidearm. You're going to need night vision. You're going to need also at some point seeds to grow food eventually. You don't want to do that immediately because you don't want to be outside, but you're going to have to grow food. You're going to need water filters. You're going to need a Geiger counter of some kind, right? You're going to need these basic things that we talk about, emergency first aid, emergency communications, all of it. Surviving a nuclear war is quite possible. In fact, even in World War II, most people in Japan did not die from the atomic bombs dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima. Yes, hundreds of thousands died, but turns out that wasn't most of the population. Now, I know what you're saying, that the atomic bombs dropped on Nagasaki and Hiroshima were very, very small in terms of yield compared to Russia's nuclear weapons today, which I think start at 1 megaton and go even higher. So at, 100 megatons, that's something like 6,000 times more powerful than the atomic bomb dropped on Hiroshima. So, but most ICBMs don't have 100 megaton warheads, by the way. They're significantly smaller than that, but still capable of a lot of destruction. So yeah, I get it. A lot of these detonations could be much, much larger. However, the farther you are away from ground zero, the safer your situation becomes very quickly. It's based on the inverse square rule of distance, essentially. So the actual blast radius, the kill zone or the total destruction zone for these nuclear weapons is not as large as you might suppose. Now, right, a nuke dropped directly on New York City or lower Manhattan, yes, if it's of sufficient size, like 50 megatons or even larger, it's going to obliterate every standing building in lower Manhattan. It's going to kill every resident there. But it doesn't mean everybody in upstate New York or everybody in New Jersey is dead or anything like that. It's just that those people will be dead if they haven't prepared, because you will instantly suffer the loss of infrastructure. So what I want you to think about here with a lot of depth is where your preparedness activities simultaneously prepare you for a nuclear strike as well as any other kind of collapse, such as a power grid collapse, an EMP weapon, a cyber attack, you know, grid down scenarios. anything like that. Because having extra food and water and medical supplies and backup forms of money, i.e. gold and silver, having your own ability to defend yourself, you know, self-defense with rifles and ammo and so on, this is priceless. And this will help you no matter what the situation. So this is where I believe we need to focus our efforts. And yeah, sure, we want to have iodine, and we want to have water filters, and we want to have Geiger counters. But primarily, we want to have a lot of stored supplies so that we can make it through any kind of, let's say, disruption of basic infrastructure, including living without electricity. Now, for those of you who listen to my podcast, you know I have a free downloadable audiobook on all of this. It's called Resilient Prepping. And if you go there to that website, resilientprepping.com, you can download it for free. Just download the MP3 files and a printable transcript. It's a PDF file, and it teaches you how to survive having no electricity, no power grid, no technology, no combustion engines, nothing. It's what I call low-tech and no-tech survival strategies. So download that book. Again, it's completely free, and you'll be able to learn all of this and much more. So thank you for listening. I'm Mike Adams here, the Health Ranger. PrepWithMike.com to find more videos.